So listen to this. This is out of the letter that is written by Peter, the first letter, 1 Peter. It's in chapter 2, and it's verse 9. I just want you to listen to it. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. All right? Did you hear that? Those are some unbelievable descriptions of who a person is that is found in Christ. And these descriptions lend itself to this idea that this person that is found in Christ, that has been changed by God, this person is a different person than the people that are not changed by God or not found in Christ. I mean, there's a clear distinction here, right? I mean, you've got a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I mean, words like that. The word holy, by definition, to be set apart. So there is a clarity here that the world of God, God's kingdom, and those who belong to that world should, must, are demanded to, just by definition, to live very differently. It should look different. It should be different. And I think in the country that we live in, the Western culture in particular, because it is a culture that is built on the idea of sales, I mean, our whole lives are a version of sales, right? We have created, I think, so often a Christianity that tries to walk its way into a normal person's life and says to them, this is for you to make a better life for you, and it really doesn't need to change too much about you. You can still, now yeah, if there are some sins you're living in, we'll deal with those as they come, but really, it's not like this is going to call you to move to China and be a missionary there, or tell you to sell all your possessions and like live in the poverty. It's not like Jesus asks us to do that, right? And so that we can walk into Christianity very comfortably, very happy, and we can slowly let it do some things in us that make our lives better, and we can also live a better life to an extent. That's the world we live in. Jesus steps into that world, sits on a mountainside, and describes to us the kingdom of God in the Sermon on the Mount, okay? He sits there, he describes to his Jewish brothers and sisters and a few scattering of people from around the region that he lives in, and he sits down on the side of the mountain and he describes to them this thing that he is bringing to us, the kingdom of God. And he describes to us in there what the residents or the children of the kingdom of God are like. So he says, the children of the kingdom of God, they are this way. They think this way. They are experienced this way. They experience life this way. This is how this came to be. They are here on this planet now for this purpose, to be salt and light. And I have given them very specific instructions on how the kingdom of God exists in the world we live in. And so he unpacks that for us. Uses the law, uses the presence of God and God as Father, and he says, this is what it looks like to live your life as a Christ follower on this planet. And as we read, as we learn, here's what we will hear over and over and over again. This is very different. It goes against pretty much most of what you believe in terms of the philosophies of this planet. And today, as we step into what Jesus is about to lay out for us, this is no exception to the extreme contrast between the philosophies of this world and the philosophies of God's kingdom. And at the same time, the call on our lives as Christ followers, children of God, to live out the kingdom of God so that two things will occur. One, we will live in the freedom that he rescued us for. Remember, it is for freedom that you have been set free, Galatians chapter 5. And more importantly almost, so that we can allow that freedom and the kingdom of God to come to bear on the lives of those around us. We are salt and light to the world. So, Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, if you will, or you can just sit and listen if you'd like to. Page 673 of our Bibles, which are under the chairs, or Matthew chapter 6 of your Bible. And we're going to step back into the story right here, right where Jesus is sitting and teaching. He has just spent some time teaching us about what it looks like to live in the presence of God. He's continuing to teach us that. He has taught us now about giving, prayer, and fasting as it relates to God's presence versus the presence of the people around us. And that is now going to continue into a very tangible philosophy of how that plays out on our planet in your everyday life. I want to start, though, in verse 25, okay? Verse 25, this is what Jesus says. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. What you will wear, is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Let's stop there. That's an amazing passage, isn't it? If you've been in the church for a long time, you're probably nodding your head right now. You're going, yeah, man, that's it right there. Whew. Let's not worry about clothes and food and silly things like that. We should live free of those kinds of worries. And that's the way that life should be. Yet here you all are, fully clothed in nice clothes. None of you naked, which is probably a good thing for the rest of us. And today, you certainly ate some food, didn't you? And if you didn't eat at home before you came to Mosaic and you ate some of the food we had. And frankly, if we didn't have hospitality out there and food, half of you wouldn't even come to this church. So the reality is that we read this scripture and we hear Jesus' words, don't worry about silly things like food and clothes. Don't worry about weaving all that together. And yet last week, last month, last year, you went to the store along with the rest of America. You selected a bunch of clothes that you thought looked nice on you because you tried them on 9 different ways. And then you bought them either on credit or with the cash you had, which is money that you earned, which you brought together strategically in the plan you have. And if you didn't have it, you talked to a credit card company to give you money that isn't yours so you could buy clothes. And then you bought those clothes and you wear them to church and you pick your clothes carefully this morning because you're coming to church and you want people to think you're nice. I mean, listen, we can talk about it all day long, but the fact of the matter is half the time we read the Bible, we read these passages like this one, and we go, oh, that's beautiful, and we all leave here and we don't pay any attention to living it out because it's ridiculous. That's why we all know it. We just don't want to say it because that wouldn't be biblical. We don't want to say that's a ridiculous way to live, not to worry about any clothes or food or anything. I mean, how would you sustain life at that point? And frankly, if we ever do get into the argument about things like this, we say, well, clearly Jesus didn't mean what it sounds like he meant, because in Proverbs and places like that, it tells us to work and to put, invest and put money away for the future and all that. So clearly this is meaning something else. I'm not sure what it means. I have no idea. It sounds like it just means don't worry about clothes and food and stuff, but that can't be true because that would be ridiculous. So what do we do with stuff like this, right? How do you deal with this? How do you walk into this and go, obviously, this is not only God's word, but this is Jesus on the mountainside teaching us about the kingdom of God and saying, folks, listen, when you live in the kingdom of God, by the kingdom of God, everything changes. Everything changes. It is a different world you live in. The clues start showing themselves in a couple of places in this passage that clues us into what Jesus is getting at here, showing us a shift deep within ourselves that will result in some incredible things. Because remember, Jesus is drawing a contrast between what? the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, that arena, and the kingdom of earth, the kingdom of self, the kingdom of man. He is drawing a distinction between the two. So he says this, do not worry about these simple things, because those are the things that the pagans worry about. So now he draws the contrast. Here's our kingdom, God, and here's the kingdom of self, humanity, the rest of the planet, whatever it is. And this kingdom worries about these things. They're anxious about these things. They fear for these things. But you don't have to live that way. In that contrast, he starts showing us something interesting. How does a human being think about the world? This is a human being that does not know the biblical wonder of God's freedom. Just you and me, before we know Christ, we're living in the kingdom of the planet Earth. What is that kingdom about? Well, I can tell you what it's about. It's about self, right? It's about you. No matter how you spin it, your kingdom is about you. And everything you do is ultimately about you. So then gods come into the picture. And that gets complicated because now there are gods involved and you can't control what they do. And maybe it's a god and you can't control what he does. So what do we do in our world? As human thinkers, this is what we do. I need to figure out a way to make sure that I have my world put together well enough, my kingdom put together well enough, so that I feel secure. Okay? And that means I've got to have what brings security. Clothes, food, warmth, happiness, all the things that make the American way, right? That stuff. So if I treat the gods well, or God well, then God will treat me well, right? So why do you follow God? Why do you do what God wants? Why do you obey God? Because if you don't, what's God going to do? Punish you. That's right. And you know how he'll punish you? He'll take your stuff. That's it. I mean, he'll take your stuff and you'll be left with nothing. And then it's going to be bad. So the way you guarantee to have what you need is keep God happy, because now you know there is a God and you got to keep him happy. So that translates into our world as Christians, right? That's where much of the prosperity stuff comes from. That you are blessed by God, and God is blessing you because he's happy with your life if things are going well for you, right? And if things are going badly for you, you should be asking yourself this question, what am I doing wrong to tick God off? Because then he'll make things good for me again. That is a pagan system, folks. It says God's kingdom only matters as far as it affects my kingdom. I will do whatever I need to do for God so that he can keep my kingdom intact. You with me? Jesus here says, I'm about to show you something extraordinary. I'm about to show you something totally different. If you live in my kingdom and you care about my kingdom and you are existing for my kingdom, then you don't need to be concerned about the things that exist in the kingdom of earth. In fact, you won't be concerned about the things that exist in the kingdom of earth because your whole paradigm will change. You'll start thinking this way. What happens to me on this planet, what I have or don't have, what I'm given or what is taken from me, is only relevant as far as it affects the kingdom of God. You see the difference? My circumstances, my stuff, my life, my things are deeply relevant because they are opportunities for me to affect the kingdom of God. That is to bring the kingdom of God to earth. Because why? What has Jesus been telling us all along? As a Christ follower, you are now the life and breath of the kingdom of God on this planet. Yes, the kingdom of God will come someday, but it is coming every day. As we are living out the kingdom of God, as we make God king of our hearts, God's kingdom is found on this planet. So every day you're sent out of those doors, out of the doors of your house, into your social networks, your workplaces, your homes, and God says to you and I, as Christ followers, everything that's about to happen to you today will happen to you, and it'll be an opportunity for you to bring the kingdom of God to bear. So God draws this contrast here. And he says there's two kinds of people. The pagans that exist worrying about their stuff and doing whatever they have to do to keep it together, whether it's a human strategy or a spiritual strategy. And then you got the other people, these magical people we're talking about that none of us seem to understand or know, that don't worry about any of it. They have no anxiety. They wake up in the morning. They don't care if they have or don't have. What are these people? Who are they? Where are they coming from? And then he says this, watch. He says in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do you hear that? That's right after the pagans think this way. But you, Christ follower, you focus your heart and mind on God's kingdom, on his righteousness, and all these other things, they'll come. So we even take that and we go back to a pagan system, don't we? Got it, God, mark that one off. Do what God wants and he'll give me all the stuff. So if I don't have the stuff, once again, it's back to didn't do what God wants. And God says, no, listen. Put it in the big picture. What have I been talking about? I've been talking about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man and how you now, as a Christ follower, live out the kingdom of God on this planet. And as you're living out the kingdom of God, listen now, if you live with that focus, the everyday stuff that you usually worry about will stop being a worry to you, because it doesn't matter how that works, because you know the God whose mind you're set on is just allowing the circumstances to play out so you can bring the kingdom of God to bear. Now, here's the interesting thing. That's what he says in this passage, right? This little passage. He says that. But watch this. At the beginning of this passage, in verse 25, where did I start? Verse 25, what was the first word there? Therefore. Therefore. What does the word therefore mean? Therefore, it's speaking of what? Something that came before, right? Have you ever walked up to your spouse and said, therefore I love you? What? I mean, therefore I love you. Therefore, what do you mean therefore? Just therefore. I love you, therefore. No, you don't do that, right? You say things like this. Because you look beautiful tonight, or you'll say, you look beautiful tonight, therefore I will go on a date with you. Okay, if you do that, the girl will not go with you on a date, just so you know. But it works, okay? The word therefore means I am referencing something I've just said, and what I'm saying now is a result of or a condition of what I've just said, right? So if verse 25 said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what is before the therefore? Let's take a look. It's actually verse 19 through 24, and this is what it says. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Isn't that amazing? And then he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Let's just stop there for a second. Jesus comes and he says to us, He's on the mountain, he's talking about the kingdom of God, and he's saying, let me show you how the kingdom of God works, okay? The people that are part of the kingdom of God, they take all that is given them, that is their gifts, their talents, their abilities, their resources, their story, the whole deal, and they spend it on whatever will be relevant to bringing God's kingdom to bear on this planet. That's how they'll spend it. They will spend their time and their energy in whichever environment I place them in, and they will be investing their story into the expansion of God's kingdom. They will not be investing their story in the expansion of this kingdom of this planet, on this planet. Because if they do, they recognize that they're spending energy, time, resources on things that are fleeting at best. I read a book recently, How the Mighty Fall by Jim Collins. He wrote Good to Great as well. He talks in this book about some of the mightiest companies on the planet that have crumbled in the last 30 years, right? And he talks about companies that should have made it, could have made it, would have made it, the whole deal. And he talks about these incredible things as they've come to bear. And he says, listen, here's the deal. They've all fallen. And there's a couple of companies today that are magical and beautiful and huge and massive. And we look at them today in our world and we go, they're going to be here forever. But the stats tell us that forever is about 150 years, top end. I mean, that's forever right there. 150 years from now, even the companies that have lasted 200, 300, 400, 500 years, they generally have a heyday, a time where they are at their best. And the other 200, 300, 400 years are just a quiet survival, right? So think about this. Are you ready for this? You pour yourself in to building a small empire. I'm talking about an empire on this planet. You know, the Walmarts type of empires, right? That's if you're part of that kind of deal. Most of us can't even imagine that, but you build a small empire. And in about 100 years from now, if you're one of the lucky ones and it lasts a long time, your empire will begin its diminishing demise into death. And about 200 years from now, it'll be gone. And that's the end of the story, right? How about this? Solomon says to us, I love this. He goes, you know what? In Ecclesiastes, he writes, you know what? This is so depressing. I spend my whole life building up a beautiful, wonderful kingdom for my children and their children's children and their children's children's children. And you know what happens? I die, leave it behind, and my first generation children spend it all on frivolous things and it goes away and it was a total waste. That's what he says in Ecclesiastes. It should depress us to no end. We should just go, wait a second, Renaud, what are you saying? Are you saying that I've spent my life building things and they're just going to die? Yes, I am. But watch this. If you've spent your life utilizing the things you've built for the continued story of God's kingdom, and I'm not just talking about taking the money and placing it into Christian things or the church. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about utilizing the platform of your talents, your gifts, your passions for the continued expansion of God on this planet. Then, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, whether rich or poor, well-fed or hungry, in prison or free, they are an opportunity for you to continue to do what you've been doing all the time, right? And what you're investing in then is the story that is unfolding out of whatever you've been given that is eternal. Because that's what Jesus says. Don't spend your energy and your time and your money and your stuff on things that will be gone 100 years from now. Use those things to create the kinds of stories that will last for eternity. Because they're about my kingdom. Use those things to live out righteousness and live out my kingdom in whichever arena I've sent you. And you see, when you wake up in the morning and you go to work, don't leave here today going, wow, I mean, I felt fulfilled in my job and now Renaud said it's going to be gone 100 years from now and I don't know why I go to work anymore. Don't do that. What Jesus is saying here is change your view of why you go to work. If you go to work, or you are spending your time in your home raising your kids, or you are spending your time in your social networks, or you are going there with the intent of creating a larger safety net for yourself and bringing security around you, good luck on that. It will come and go, man. But if you do all those same things, because God has given you the platform in those arenas to be the kingdom of God in those places, changes everything. See, some of you are gifted in the medical field, some in the construction field, some in the financial field, some in the real estate field, some in business, I can go on and on. Each of you are different. And your gifting and passions were given to you by God so that you can go and work hard on this planet. But they weren't given to you to work hard to build a kingdom. They were given to you to work hard to build His kingdom in your workplace with the people that are there, in your home with the people that are there, in your social networks with the people that are there. And if your kingdom that you are part of on this planet happens to bring resources your way at large amounts, well then, by golly, spend those resources on things that expand the kingdom of God, right? But we don't do any of that because we worry too much about the other things. And God says, when you follow me, when you know me, you will start changing everything. Your investments will change, that is, investments of yourself, will change from things that are temporary to things that matter. And when that happens, watch this, Your heart will change, okay? Because what did he say? Wherever you invest yourself, there you will find your heart. Where your treasures are, there your heart will be, right? Now watch this. Now he says, if you're investing in eternal things and your heart is tied to the kingdom of God, that is not a future kingdom coming someday when you die, but a daily kingdom unfolding out of you because Christ is in you. If that's your bent today, God, help me bring your kingdom to bear today. Help me to live righteously and be focused on your kingdom. Then guess what's going to happen? Your heart is going to be tied to those things, which means you will be concerned about the things that are about God's kingdom. God, will I have opportunity today to bring your kingdom to bear? God, help me to live righteously despite my circumstances, whatever they may be. Help, all those things will be what you're thinking about. How many of you will worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat if your focus is God's kingdom today? Well, what God's saying is you won't. You won't worry. It's not calling you not to worry. It's you won't worry. Why not? Because now, if God gives you bread, then there is an opportunity in that moment to bring the kingdom of God to bear. And if God takes your bread away, there's an opportunity to bring the kingdom of God to bear. Why? Because you can live in obedience to God despite either of those circumstances. That's why Paul wrote later on and said these words, "I have learned the secret of being content. Whether rich or poor, well-fed or hungry, in prison or free, doesn't matter. I've learned the secret of being content because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My circumstances are just an opportunity to live out the righteousness of God before the world so I can be the kingdom of God for this planet. That's it." Jesus put it this way later on. We'll hear him say it and we'll talk about it later. If you try and save your life, you will lose it. If you invest your life in this world and try and keep it together, save it, build kingdoms, I promise you, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for what? For my kingdom, for my sake, you will save it. That's right. Isn't that amazing? And here he says it this way. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness today, and all the other things that you would usually worry about, they'll be added to you. Because here's the irony. If you're living righteously today, your finances will be in order, because that's part of righteous living. And if you're living righteously today, you will be working hard in the different arenas that you're in. Whether you have a job or not, you'll be finding ways to work hard. And if you're living righteously, when you have a lot, you'll be handling it well. And when you have a little, you'll be handling it well. Do you see the point? Jesus is saying, if you live for my kingdom, you won't worry about any of the other stuff. And you won't have to, because it will be irrelevant to you. On the flip side of that, if your heart is tied to the things of this world, oh, will you worry? You better worry, because they come and go fast. I'll give you an example. You get home. You're invested in the stock market. That's been a fun ride, hasn't it? Those of you invested in the stock market, hadn't that been fun, right? So a few years ago, you were very, very happy, weren't you? I mean, you were rolling, weren't you? I mean, you were just excited. Every day was an exciting day for you. I know, because it was an exciting day for many people. I know, including myself. I was like, ooh, that's exciting. Who knew that a dollar could turn into 100, right? It's really funny when that 100 turns into 50 cents. Then it's suddenly not so exciting anymore, because you made all sorts of plans with the $100, didn't you? And that's a reality, isn't it? I mean, when I came here, my wife and I, we bought this house. And man, we came long before the boom, so we bought a house when it was dirt cheap way back in the day. And it's dirt cheaper now. Isn't that funny? I mean, I owned my house when it was four times as expensive as it was when I bought it, and I own it today, and it's half as expensive as it was when I bought it. Isn't that amazing? And what's really changed since I've lived here? Not anything I can quite figure out except for the price of my house, because some person decided to tell me how much it's worth, right? In this planet, if your treasures and your heart is tied to the things of this world, you will worry, I promise you. Because they will come and go, and it will be a roller coaster ride for you. And you will wonder constantly, what have I done to keep God happy, or what have I done to make him mad? Because your circumstances are God's thermometer on how good you are. And I want to tell you, Jesus says that is bunk. That is a pagan way of thinking. Some of the poorest people on this planet have been some of the most righteous. In fact, you ready for this? Take a deep breath. One of the most righteous men that ever lived, God took everything from him. Isn't that funny? I mean, talk about taking prosperity ideology and throwing a big border dump on it. The most righteous man that probably walked the face of the earth in a very long time's name was Job. And God said to his enemy, I tell you what, you want to see righteousness at its best? Take everything Job has and see what he does. I guarantee you he'll stay faithful. So if you're too righteous, God may take all that you have. I would recommend a medium righteousness. That way you're pretty safe. Right? But we live in a world that says if I have everything and I'm happy, then God must like me. And if I don't, then God must hate me. Baloney. That is only because we're tied to our stuff. If we are focused on the kingdom of God, we won't worry about our circumstances because they'll come and go, and we will utilize them to bring the kingdom of God to bear on this planet. And that is our freedom. A life free of anxiety because our Father in heaven is taking care of us. And we will do all the same things on this planet others do, but we will do them for all the different reasons that they do them for. And so God says this. He ends this way. Right before he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry, he ends this way. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I said the word money. Make you feel uncomfortable yet? You cannot serve both God and money. Let me tell you a little story, and then we close with this. I usually tell you stories about all the horrible things I do, so let me tell you one about something I do half decently, okay? Yes, I do a few good things in life too. I live in a beautiful home on a golf course here in Claremont. I have a swimming pool. We are incredibly blessed. I am blown away every day by the privileges that we have. We bought that house years and years ago when it was very inexpensive, and we were able to get in at a great price with a very, very low mortgage. And we've lived in that house for quite a few years. And let me tell you something about that house. It's something I do every week. I do this every single week. I find a moment in my week, and I just go and do this. I go and sit on the patio of my house. I look at the golf course and the swimming pool, and I think about the house, and I say this, God, if this house ever means enough to me that I would fear losing it, please take it away. And if the stuff in this house is ever meaningful enough to my heart that I wouldn't be willing to give it away in a heartbeat if you asked me to, please take it away now. Because I fear my house and my stuff and my resources, because they have a way to creep into the depths of my heart and tie me to them. And I fear for my children that they would think our house matters and our stuff matters. So I say, God, take it if it matters that much to me. I do that every week. Not because I think we should fear money in the sense that we shouldn't have any, but in the fact that we should fear and have a disdain for money in the sense that it can steal our hearts. The safest people that should have a lot of money are those who fear it deeply. If you truly fear and have a disdain for wealth, I pray God gives you a lot of wealth. Now you guys are gonna go and figure out how to fear it, aren't you? wrong move, okay? Because here's the deal. At the end of the day, he says it, if you serve God, you will have a reverent disdain for resources. And you will only see them as a tool to use for the kingdom of God. And if your heart creeps toward them, you will hate them for it. If you love money, then eventually you will hate God when he takes it away. So it's going to happen. You're going to love one and hate the other, period. That's what Jesus said. So I would recommend, if you follow Christ, that you examine your heart like I do on a regular basis and say, God, do I love my life, my circumstances, my stuff enough that it has crept into my heart, that it is my treasure? And if it is, ask God to break that in you. Because your freedom from anxiety will exist when the things around you are only as relevant as they come to bear on the kingdom of God. Remember this thing as you leave here. You will either live this way. God's kingdom is only as relevant as far as it comes to bear on my kingdom, or you will live this way. My kingdom is only as relevant as it comes to bear on God's kingdom. I pray for each of you that follow Jesus that you would live the second way. My circumstances, my stuff, my resources are only as relevant on this planet as they are able to be used for the continued expansion of God's kingdom. The job I go to, the work I do, I'll do diligently because I'm a man or woman of integrity, and it brings God's kingdom to bear when I live out integrity. See what I'm saying? I hope you'll live there. So when you leave these doors, ask yourself one question this week. God, why do I do what I do every day? Do I do it to build my kingdom, to secure my future, to secure the future of my world? Or do I do it as an act of righteousness to bring your kingdom to bear? If you're investing for your children, fantastic. If you're doing it because you know God's called you to it. But if God takes your investment away and you cry over that, you've missed the point. Do what you have to do. Be wise, but always hold it loosely and say, God, it is only as available to me as you deem necessary for me to be a man or woman of righteousness. If we live that way, we will be different and the world will change. I pray that for you and I. Let's pray together.